Apollo Control, Houston. We're looking at engine data, and it looks good. Tank pressures look good. We have not talked yet with the crew, but we're standing by. We've got it. We've got it. Apollo 8 now in lunar orbit. There's a cheer in this room. This is Apollo Control, Houston. Switching now to the voice of Jim Lovell.
By 60.5. Good to hear your voice. This is Houston. Roger. 169.1 by 60.5. Good to hear your voice. Apollo 8, Houston. What does the old moon look like from 60 miles? Over.
Okay, Houston. The moon is essentially gray. No color. Looks like plaster of Paris. Or sort of a grayish beach sand. We can see quite a bit of detail. The sea of fertility doesn't stand out as well here as it does back on Earth. There's not as much contrast between that and the surrounding craters. The equator craters are all rounded off. There's quite a few of them. Some of them are newer. Many of them look like, especially the round ones, look like hit by meteorites or projectiles of some sort. Lanigridus is quite a huge crater. It's got a central cone to it. The walls of the crater are terraced, about six or seven different terraces on the way down.
What does the old moon look like from 60 miles? Over.
Okay, Houston. The moon is essentially gray. No color. We can see quite a bit of detail. The sea of fertility doesn't stand out as well here as it does back on Earth. There's not as much contrast between that and the surrounding craters. The equator craters are all rounded off. There's quite a few of them. Some of them are newer. Many of them look like, especially the round ones, look like hit by meteorites or projectiles of some sort. Lanigridus is quite a huge crater. It's got a central cone to it. The walls of the crater are terraced. About six or seven different terraces on the way down.
Roger, understand. Roger, understand.
And coming up now, the Sea of Fertility are the old friends Messier and Vickery that I looked about so much on Earth.
Roger.
And I can see the rays coming out of Blade Vickery. We're coming up now near our B1 initial site, which I'm going to try and see. Be advised, the round window, the hatch window, is completely iced over. We cannot use it. Bill Meyer is showing a rendezvous window.
Apollo 8, Houston. Roger. Got any more information on those rays? Over.
Roger. The rays out of Pickering are quite faint from here. They're two different groups coming going to the west. They don't appear to be have any depth to them at all, just rays coming out.
Roger.
They look like just changes in the color of the Mare. Okay, over to my right are the Pyrenee Mountains coming up. And we're just about over Messier and Pickering right now. Our first initial point is easily seen from our altitude. We're getting quite a bit of contrast as we appear, as we approach the terminator. The view appears to be good. No reflection of the sun back to our eyes. It appears that visibility at this particular spot is excellent. It's very easy to pick out our first initial point. And over this mountain chain, we can see the second initial point, the triangular mountain.
We're coming up on the craters Colombo and Gutenberg. Very good detail visible. We can see the long parallel fault or grommet, and they run through the Maury material right into the Highland material.
We're directly over our first ignition point now for B1. It's almost impossible to miss, very easy to pick out, and we can look right over into the second ignition point.
Roger, Jim.
I can see very clearly the 5 crater star formation which we had on our lunar chart.
Roger.
And right now I'm trying to pick out visually B1. And coming up now, the Sea of Fertility are the old friends Messier and Vickery that I looked about so much on Earth.
Roger.
And I can see the rays coming out of Blaze Vickery. We're coming up now near our B1 initial site, which I'm going to try and see. Be advised, the round window, the hatch window, is completely iced over. We cannot use it. Bill Meyer is showing a rendezvous window.
Apollo 8 Houston, Roger. Got any more information on those rays? Over.
Roger, the rays out of Pickering are quite faint from here. They're two different groups coming going to the west. They don't appear to be have any depth to them at all, just rays coming out.
Roger.
They look like just changes in the color of the Maury. Yeah. Okay, over to my right are the Pyrenee Mountains coming up. And we're just about over Messier and Pickering right now. Our first initial point is easily seen from our altitude. We're getting quite a bit of contrast as we appear.
Here we got the Interstellar Times here, the December 24th edition. Your TV program was a big success. It was viewed this morning by most of the nations of your neighboring planet, the Earth. It was carried live all over Europe, including even Moscow and East Berlin. Also in Japan and all of North and Central America and parts of South America. We don't know yet how extensive the coverage was in Africa. Are you copying me all right, over?
You're loud and clear.
Good. San Diego will welcome home today the Pueblo crew in a big ceremony. They had a pretty rough time of it in a Korean prison. Christmas ceasefire is in effect in Vietnam with only sporadic outbreaks of fighting. And if you haven't done your Christmas shopping by now, you best forget it.
Thank you.
We're looking at biomedical data on Jim Lovell, and his mean heart rate is registering 66. His high heart rate over the recent sample period has been 76. His low is now 70. He must be moving around a little bit.
Houston, my comments concerning the sunrise was the comments above the terrain. There appeared what might be called zodiacal light or light due to age or something like that. As the sun came above the, or before the sun came above the limb, definite rays could be seen coming from the other side, and it was a uniform haze emanating from the center spot where the sun was going to rise. And this was something which I didn't expect.
Oh, wait, Houston, go ahead, Frank, with your message.
Okay, this is Durant Rose and the people of St. Christopher's. Actually, the people everywhere. Give us, O God, the vision which can see thy love in the world in spite of human failure. Give us the faith to trust the goodness in spite of our ignorance and weakness. Give us the knowledge that we may continue to pray with understanding hearts. And show us what each one of us can do to set forward the coming of the day of universal peace. Amen.
Amen.
I was supposed to lay read tonight, and I couldn't quite make it.
Right, Judge. I think they understand.
What we'll do now.
now is follow the trail that we've been following all day and take you on through to a lunar sunset. The moon is a different thing to each one of us. I think that each one carries his own impressions of what he's seen today. I know my own impression is that it's a vast, lonely, forbidding type existence or expanse of nothing. It looks rather like clouds and clouds of pumice stone. And it certainly would not appear to be a very inviting place to live or work. Jim, what have you thought most about?
Well, Frank, my thoughts were very similar. The vast loneliness up here on the moon is awe-inspiring, and it makes you realize just what you have back there on Earth. The Earth from here is a grand oasis of the big vastness of space.
Bill, what do you think? I think the thing that impressed me the most were the lunar sunrises and sunsets. These in particular bring out the stark nature of the terrain, and the long shadows really bring out the relief that is here and hard to see in this very bright surface that we're going over right now. We are now approaching lunar sunrise, and for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness.
And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day.
And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called these seas. And God saw that it was good. And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you. All of you on the good earth.
Hi, Fort Jack here, and we've got some good work here that originated at the Cape with a bunch of friends of yours. And it's sort of in a paraphrase of a poem that you're probably familiar with. Do you read me out, Apollo 8?
You're loud and clear, Jack.
Okay, 'twas the night before Christmas and way out in space. The Apollo 8 crew had just won the moon race. The headsets were hung by the consoles with care in hopes that Chris Kraft soon would be there. Now, Frank Borman was nestled all snug in his bed while visions of rest mats danced in his head. And Jim Lovell in his couch and Anders in the bay were racking their brains over a computer display. When out of the disky there rose such a clatter, Frank sprang from his bed to see what was the matter. Away to the sextant he flew like a flash to make sure they weren't going to crash. The light on the breast of the moon's jagged crust gave a luster of green cheese to the gray lunar dust. When what to his wondering eyes should appear but a Burma shave sign saying Kilroy was here. But Frank was no fool, he knew pretty quick that they had been first. This must be a trick. More rapid. rapid than rockets his curses they came. He turned to his crewmen and called them a name. Now Lovell, now Anders, now don't think I'd fall for that old joke you've written up on the wall. They spoke not a word, but grinning like elves, and laughed at their joke in spite of themselves. Frank sprang to his couch, to the ship gave a thrust, and away they all flew past the gray lunar dust. But we heard them explain ere they flew round the moon, Merry Christmas to Earth. We'll be back there real soon. Great job, gang.
Thank you very much. That's a very good poem. But in order to win the race, you got to end up on the carriers.
We'll see you there.
Hey, Jack, you really got Bill trained. Okay.
I certainly hope so. You did pretty well, Jim. You must have talked on the way out there.
Roger. Please be informed there is a Santa Claus.
We mark off each day on the instrument panel. We have four down and we're working on the fifth day. Of course, we're all looking forward to the landing on Friday.
Roger, me burned on time, 14 seconds. Attitude nominal.
Okay, you're loud and clear. Is this Bill?
None other.
Yeah, I've got a message for you while you were asleep. Valerie said to tell you she and the kids are leaving for church about 11:30 and eagerly awaiting your return. She says presents are magically starting to appear under the Christmas tree again, so it looks like a double barrel Christmas. Over.
It can't be a deal like that. How was Christmas at your house today?
Early and busy as usual. I told Michael you guys are up there, and he said, "Who's driving?"
That's a good question. I think Isaac Newton is doing most of the driving right now.
Say again?
I think Isaac Newton is doing most of the driving right now.
Roger, we copy.
Well, tell Valerie and the kids Merry Christmas for me, Mike, and tell them I'll see you here in a while.
I sure will, and you might tell Frank if he's got any messages. His people are about 10 feet away.
He said, "Bar humbug."
Howdy, how y'all?
Hey, you got a whole row of smiling faces in the back room, Frank.
Very good. Well, they'd be proud of me. I'm using the extra genie right now.
Don't overdo it.
I won't.
Houston, Apollo 8.
Go ahead, Jim.
Roger, me burns on time, 14 seconds. Attitude nominal.
What we thought we'd do today was just show you a little bit about life inside Apollo 8. We've shown you the scenes of the moon, scenes of the earth, and we thought we'd invite you into our home. It's been our home at least for 4 days. You can see on the instrument panel, we mark off each day on the instrument panel. We have four down and we're working on the fifth day. Of course, we're all looking forward to the landing on Friday. And down here in the part of the spacecraft that we call the lower equipment bay, we have the President's Advisor on Physical Fitness, Captain Jim Lovell, about to undergo an exercise program that we do every day. You notice that he floats around very freely. Just bumping his head on the optics of our navigating. He's working with an exercise device that's designed to keep the muscles in shape.
Tentatively, your mid-course correction at 122 hours is zero, and in about an hour and a half, we'll have some track data to confirm that, over.
Okay, thank you.
Gotcha.
We're going to have something to eat here, Mike. Just take it easy now.
All right, understand, Mike.
Did you get another shotgun for Christmas?
No, I'm missing enough of the one I have.
That's what Edwin told me. I thought maybe you would try another one.
That's the wrong statement. We got the right spacecraft. Our clue is, if it keeps going this way for two more days, we have got not only the right spacecraft, we've got the best spacecraft.
It'll keep going.
See, we're trying to get back on our normal sleep cycle, and I just woke up here a little while ago, so I'm going to try to hit the hay again. Then probably be a good idea to try another sync call to try to get with it. What do you guys think of it?
Okay, sounds like a good idea. And if we can get Frank to tell us how much sack time he got, why, that'll go in the log, too.
I was in bed for 7 hours, Ken, and I probably slept about 4.5 to 5 hours of it anyway.
You're getting better. Good.
If you're interested in further reports, we've all had 3 meals today, and we've drunk a lot of water. And Jim's asleep now. He worked pretty hard this afternoon, but I think we're all in pretty good shape now.
We understand Bill Anders is flying the spacecraft, occupying the commander's couch, the left-hand couch. And Frank Borman is getting some sleep. The medic advises that he has been sleeping now for about 2 hours. We expect that shortly Jim Lovell will also begin a sleep period. And we would also expect that Frank Borman would be waking up